Boker Tov world. Today's daf, Mesechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Aleph. Now, what I'd like to do is, because we're going to be dedicating the entire next daf to going over the Braita that we almost finished yesterday, I think it would be a nice idea for us to start again at the beginning of the Braita without any details, because we're going to be taking apart this Braita line by line over the course of the daf. But it would be good to get a global perspective first on it again. And since yesterday was all new and confusing, maybe it would be kedai just to spend 2 minutes on doing it from the beginning without getting into details. So this would be a Nun Amud Beis on the third line, and that would enable us to just get the general key ideas. Tana Rabbanan, Ubat Ish Kohen, Kitachel. We're holding on. Amud Beis now 3 lines down from those wider lines. So Tana Rabbanan, this was a very, very strange braita. Had a lot of pieces in it that made no sense. And we're going to be going over it on today's daf, line by line in the Gemara. So first, again, those of you who came late, we're just looking at it for a global perspective. Tana Rabbanan. Ubat ish kohen ki techel. Now let's say it would have just said that. Then it would just have said ki techel. I wouldn't have known what that halalut would mean. Yochel afilu chilalat haShabbat. Maybe that would mean that if a bat kohen is mechalelet Shabbat, so her onesh is sreifa, as opposed to the normal onesh of skila. Talmud lomar liznot. No. Ki techel liznot is dafka in terms of chilulim shebiznut akatu medaber. So it has to do with what we think would mean like adultery, specifically. Yochel afilu pnuya, but you might think liznot simply means any type of sexual activity that's illicit, even if she's not married. So maybe that would be enough to be mechayev her sreifa. No, there's no way to think such a thing at all. Because, look, if you take a look at the Lashon of the Pasuk, it says over here, et avia himechalelet, right? Now, that Lashon of avia himechalelet is the same Lashon that we find by the din of a Bas Yisrael who was married. And there it says, beferet she was married. So in there where it's b'chayev skila for na'ara ha'murasa, it says b'feresh, asta nevela b'Yisrael liznot beit avia. So the word avia occurs in 2 places, one by the bat kohen where it doesn't specify that she was married, and one by the bat Yisrael where it does specify that she was married. And therefore what we say is that just like the use of avia over there means not just sex. It's not a matter of znut. It's a matter of znut im zikata ba'al, where there is a husband that's involved. Therefore, here too, by the bat kohen, it's afkan znut im zikata ba'al. Now, you might think that the word aviha actually should be read very differently. Maybe what we should say is, ubat kohen ki techel liznot et aviha, that when a bat kohen sleeps with her father, maybe that's when we put the et avia together, and that would mean that she was chayevet be'eshti saref because she sleeps with her father. Now, of course, this is very confusing because anyone who sleeps with her father, their chiyev is sreifa. So why would we be miyache dafka bat kohen? All of that, of course, we're going to talk about as we parse this braita and go over it line by line. But again, we're just taking a look at the general idea. So you might think that's the way to read it. Well, you can't read it that way, because Oena Omer Avia, maybe it means Avia as opposed to anybody else, meaning she sleeps only with her father. You can't read it that way, because Kishu Omer, when it continues with the words et Avia, the next word is he michalelet. So then, obviously, the father is the object of the chilul. And if she was sleeping with her father, then the father's not the object of the chilul. The father's doing as much chilul of her as she is doing of her father. She's not allowed to eat truma. She's not allowed to marry. She's not considered to be kshera for any of the inyanim of the kuhuna. She's considered to be a zonah, so she can't marry a kohen, and so on. So therefore, the moment it says et aviyahi michalelet, it's clear that the father, it's not with the father, it's et the father, which means that he is the actual pronoun. So therefore, it's obvious, Mani Mikayim Avia, must be telling me, as we said, Ne'emar Kan Avia, Ne'emar Lahalan Avia, it says Avia here, it says Avia there, by the Bas Yisrael Arusa, Malahalan Znutim Sikat Habal. So just like over there, it doesn't mean just sex, in which case, if she was a Pnuya, it would also be included. It means sex in the presence of a husband with someone else. It's referring specifically to adultery. Afkan znut im zikat habal. Now, if that's the case, says the Gemara, but then you should compare it completely. Because the word avia, in the case over here, if we're going to learn avia hi michalelet by the bat kohen, and we're going to be learning it out from el petach bet avia, from the bat Yisrael, then we should go all the way, and we should say, just like in the case of a bat Yisrael, it's only referring there to a na'ara who is mu'urasa. So there are two specific issues that take this out of the general set of adultery. A, her age, that she's a very innocent age, so she's between 12 and 12 and a half years old. And she is also arusa. She's already had the first stage of the kiddushin. She hasn't gone to the chuppah, but she's technically married completely, but they still haven't slept together. Afkan na'aravihi arusa. So that would mean that the only time that if we're going to be learning it from Avia, the only time that the Torah gives this special din to a Bat Kohen, Bisreifa, is in those two special events. She's both an Ara and she's an Arusa. But how about if she's an Ara and she already went to the Chuppah and they've already slept together? Now Ravi Nesua. Or what about if indeed she's only an Arusa, but she's over the age of 12 and a half and she's a Bogeret? Or for that matter, maybe she's a Bogeret and she's already a Nesua. And for that matter, maybe she's 80 years old. I don't know. Afilu hizkina. So would she still be called a Bat Kohen ki techel liznot? Minayin? Tamud lomar. U Bat Kohen mikol makom. Therefore, the Torah says, U Bat Kohen. That no matter what, doesn't matter, whatever the situation is, she is actually going to be included in this din of being a Bat Kohen. Now, that means Bat Kohen would seem to mean, which this makes no sense at all, but again, we're going to be looking over it line by line, Bat Kohen seems to mean only if she's married to a Kohen. How about, why in the world that would be? Who knows? We'll see. But what about if she's not married to a Kohen? What about if she's married to a Levi or to Yisrael? Or maybe even to a non-Jew, or maybe to a Kohen who's Mechulal, or to a Mamzer, or to a Natin. Remember that the Natinim were the ones that had pretended to be actually not from the Shiva Amamim, and then they were accepted B'ta'ut, and they turned them into Natinim. They were given over to being the carriers of the water, and so on. Anyway, so how do we know that even in the event that she was married to a person like that, that nonetheless, she would still be called a Bat Ish Kohen? Talmud Lomar, Ubat Ish Kohen, the Ish over here is completely unnecessary. You say Bat Kohen. The Bat Ish Kohen is obviously trying to tell us something. So it's saying the point over here is that not she has to be included in this kuhuna, as being a kosher kohenet or whatever, and as long as she's the daughter of a man who is a kohen, even though she herself, afalpi, she'ina kohenet, even though she herself is not a kosher kohen. Again, the Gemara is going to be discussing how this is supposed to make any sense. Continues the Braisa, he bisreifa, since it says over here, the extra word as well as he, ki techel is not, it tells us that only he bisreifa, so that the halacha is specifically she. Now, normally, in a case of adultery, both partners to the adultery are treated the same. But over here, et avia hi mechalela seems to be telling us something about her, a focus on her. And that is be'esh tisarev. He is be'esh tisarev. But that would mean that the partner to the adultery, the male partner, is not chayev sreifa. He would be, we'll see, what would he be? Would he be like the boel of a Yisrael? Would he be the same as a nesuah? To be seen. He b'sreifa, furthermore it tells us, that he b'sreifa ve'ein zomemeha b'sreifa. So that the edim zomemim, who accused her of this, they would not be actually chayev what she would have been chayevet, they would be chayev what the adulterer, the male, would have been chayev. And therefore the edim, that remember we learn out from Ha'asot la'achiv, kasher zamam la'asot la'achiv, the edim zomim were always punished by what they wanted to do to their brother. Why do you mention their brother? Because in a case where there's a difference between the brother and the sister, Hebrew, in that case, we go according to the brother and not, hey, sis, not according to the sister. Okay, all that we're going to be seeing. So that means that only she is chayavet sreifa. And now here's the weirdest part of the braita. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, et avia, so it says et avia michalelet, et avia, she's chayavet sreifa. And et chamia, but I don't know what that's supposed to mean. We don't know what the words mean, but we'll talk about it in the Gemara when we deal with it line by line. The et chamia with her father-in-law, she would be chayav skila. Now, can I try to make some sense of this? Says the Gemara, please. Let's start at the beginning. Amar mar. Yochal afilu chila la Shabbat. Now that is crazy. What do you mean? If it hadn't said ki techel liznot, I would have thought that if a bat kohen is mechalelet Shabbat, so she is chayev sreifa. It's only all other people that are mechalel Shabbat that are chayev skila. Now, you can't really mean that. I understand. Chilala Shabbat. I mean, the regular set of chilul Shabbos is a chayev of skila. Why in the world would we say, well, if she's a bat kohen, we'll let her off a little bit and we'll give her sreifa? It makes no sense. She's a bat skila. Omar Rava, you forget, kind sir, that there is the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And remember that Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah holds that Srefa is the most chamor. So actually, what we would be saying is that if she was mechalelet Shabbat from her esteemed position as a bat kohen, then she would be chayevet more than anybody else. And she would be chayevet instead of skila, she would be chayevet sreifa. Why would I think such a thing? Because since the Torah generally is more machmir when it comes to kohanim, look at the, all these extra chiyuvim that we have to the kohanim, the isser of tuma, especially surim when it comes to the shaving and so on and so forth. So maybe the Torah is more machmir on kohanim. And because of that, tidon b'sreifa, therefore kamash malan, no, ki techel davka liznot. It has to have to do with sex, not with chilul Shabbos. What? I understand. We'd be saying the Torah is more machmir on kohanim, and therefore the daughter of a kohen, not the kohen, the daughter of the kohen, we're going to be more machmir on her for chilul Shabbos. Does this make sense? We're going to be more machmir on her than we are on the father, who's the kohen. How do you read that? Bat kohen ki techelet. What sense would there be in that? Maishna mine didei? Why is there a difference between her and him, meaning the father himself? Well, no, that's not so crazy. Look, I mean, I could have thought that Sagadat Ramina, Igudish Tariele Shabbat Gabi Avoda. Look, a kohen, a male, according to him, for him, Shabbos is different than for other people, because a Kohen is regularly Mechal Shabbos, because the Torah is said to do the Avodah on Shabbos. So for him, the Torah is not going to be Machmir more than it would for anybody else on Chilul Shabbat. But for her, he, Kiman de lo yishtar de Shabbat de Gaba, we never find that she has any kind of Kula binogea to Chilul Shabbos. So again, her esteemed position as a Kohenet is Mechayev her more. And according to Rabbi Shimon, Sreifa is more. So this was said according to Rabbi Shimon. So Ema Tidon B'Sreifa. Well, because of that, the Torah had to mention specifically sex, not Shabbos. Now, we thought sex might mean afilu pnuya. What if she's not married? You're claiming that it might mean even if she's not married? But I thought the word liznot, it says liznot betavia. I thought that the very word znut implies adultery. Because, like we say, zoneh achareya means you're turning aside from a relationship that you do have to be makpid on, and you're now engaging in a relationship that violates that. Isn't that what the word znut means? Like, why is it just about sex? Ah, because there is such a shita. And that is Rabbi Elazar's shita. And this braita was apparently going according to that shita that we had back in Yevomes, because he said that a panui haba al hapnuya shelo l'shum ishut asa'a zona. So according to him, when it says that a kohen is not allowed to marry a zona, isha zona v'chalala, the meaning of a zona would include even a woman who engages in extramarital sex for no purpose other than sex. And therefore, she would be called a zona in a different sense. We call that zona from the focus, the correct focus on sexual activity. Okay, that's Rabbi Elazar Shita. So what we're saying over here is, since the Torah did not say what it is that she did particularly, it just said, Ki techel iznot, according to Rabbi Elazar, maybe that just means that she starts going sleeping around with people, but she's not married. Therefore, we want to learn out from the Zereshava of Avia to Avia and say that Avia teaches, just like by the Bas Yisrael, it was talking about a married woman. Here, too, it's talking about a married woman specifically. Then we say, next line in the Braita, then we say, perhaps it only mentions Avia to exclude other people. Now, that would mean that we're reading the Pasuk that a bat kohen ki techel is not et Avia. So she goes out and has sex with her father, not et Avia in the sense of the focus on the Perona. There's no English equivalent, but not the magical focus that et gives to the object of the pronoun, but et in the sense of with, in the sense of im. So maybe that's what it means. And only if she is sleeping with her father, then is there a din of sreifa. Because, I mean, it says that, beferish, with a father. And the point is that if she sleeps with anybody else, if it's not et avia, then it would not be sreifa. I don't understand what that means, says the Gemara. So what are we saying? That only if she sleeps with her father? Shezinta me'avia? But then why would I have a posik telling me that bat kohen who sleeps with her father is chayev skila? Anyone who sleeps with her father is chayev skila. Afilu bat Israel, etzreif, I mean, afilu bat Israel nami. That would be the case of anybody, Diomar Rava. Omar Li Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avudimi. How do we know, in fact? Fascinating thing. It never says anywhere in the Torah, do not sleep with your daughter. So how do we know that there is an Isser, indeed, in sleeping with a daughter, and that Isser includes a Chiev of Sreifa? How do we know that? Ah, well, this is the very famous Russia that we've had very often. Atya Hena Hena. Atya Zima Zima. Now, this is due to two different Gzera Shavot. Put the two together, and what do you get? You get that a person is not allowed to sleep with a daughter, and that if he does, the Onesh is Sreifa. And this is because we have two different Parshiot, you will recall. That we've done this many times, let's review it very briefly. We have two different Parshiot about sexual relationships between a man and his parent, step-granddaughter or own granddaughter. Now, where do we get that? Because one pasuk says, Ervat isha ubita la tegale, that you shall not take a woman and her daughter. That's even if it's not your daughter, right? It's her daughter. So you marry a woman who has a daughter. You're not allowed to sleep with that daughter. You're not allowed to sleep with the daughter's daughter, or the mother's granddaughter, whether through a daughter or through a son. So et bat binah, vet bat pita, that woman and her granddaughter through her son, or that woman and her granddaughter through her daughter, lo tikach legalot ervata. Now, look at these words. Sha'ara heina zima hi. Okay, so then we learn from that pasuk that we're dealing with this case of an isha ubita. But note, isha always means married woman, not a person who is a girl, but ishut. And that tells me that if you marry a woman who has a daughter, you're not allowed to sleep with her daughter or her granddaughter. Now, how do we know that if you never married a woman and you had your own daughter out of wedlock, and now you want to sleep with that daughter or that granddaughter, how do we know that that's usur? Ah, now that's different. That is a separate pasuk which says, ervat bat bincha, o bat bitcha, lo tegale ervatan, ki ervatcha hina. Very strangely, it doesn't mention your own daughter. It only mentions your own granddaughter through a daughter. And so it's a bat bitcha, or your own granddaughter through your son. It doesn't say anything about your daughter. And it says the word hena. Now remember that in that earlier pasuk it also said sha'ara hena zimahi. So therefore, what we say is that even though there's no mention over here of a daughter, but there was in the other pasuk, it mentioned the daughter along with the granddaughter. So in the same way, if you marry a woman legally and she has a granddaughter and a daughter, you'd be usher both on the granddaughter and the daughter. We learn out from this comparison of the same word, hena, and appears in both of those psukim, ki ervatcha hena, and the other idea that we had of the idea of the Sha'ara Hena. So Ervatcha Hena and Sha'ara Hena compares the two different dinim, one of a legally married woman and one of your own child who was not born with any type of legal relationship. So just like over there, it included her daughter with her granddaughter, so too here it includes your daughter with your granddaughter. Now, how do I know that the Chiyuv is Sreifa? That's because in Kedoshim it says, Ish asher yikach et ishav et ima zimahi. There it uses the word zima. And there it talks about a woman and her mother, which of course is the same idea as a mother and a woman. That is to say, her daughter. And it says, Beferish, in that pasuk, Ba'esh yisrafu oto ve'aten. So it says Beferish over there, that zima always implies a chiyuv of sreifa. And in that previous pasuk in Achrei Mot, it said also the word hena and zima. And therefore, if it's true about one, it's true about the other. And because of that, we now know that there's a chiyuv of sreifa for sleeping with a daughter. So now getting back to our braita, if the braita entertained the notion that a bat kohen who sleeps with her father is chayev sreifa, the obvious question is, anybody who sleeps with their father is chayev sreifa because of what we just learned. Hena, hena, zima, zima. So, what would be the point? Says the Gemara, that's precisely the point, my dear friend. Itzrich. Sarka daitachamina, maybe the whole point of this pasuk is to stress that only a bat kohen who sleeps with her father is chayev sreifa, thereby putting you on notice that you should not apply hena, hena, zima, zima across the board. And it would be telling you specifically that it's limited, the chayev of sreifa is limited to a kohen's daughter who is sleeping with her father. Therefore, I would have said that the kra, the pasuk is good for coming to tell me not to listen to what Rava just told us in the name of Rav Yitzchok Bar Avadimi about Hena Hena Zima Zima, because since B'digali Rachmona B'bat Kohen, the Torah had to mention specifically about Kohen is Chayev and Srefa, that tells me only about Kohen and not about Yisrael. That's what I might have thought. Therefore, the Braita goes through that since it says he michalelet, it's obviously talking about the father as the object of the verb rather than being a preposition of together with. That's the point. Okay, next line that you said in this weird Braita. You said, Bat Kohen, I would have thought a Bat Kohen means she has to be married to a Kohen. Now, that is crazy, isn't it? Why in the world would I have thought that if she's a Bat Kohen, she has to be married to a Kohen? I don't understand. All right, but we'll talk about it. So let me just first quote the wild things that this Braita is saying. If it says a Bat Kohen, I would have thought she has to be married to a Kohen. How about if she's married, oh horrors, to a Levi? How about if she's married, oh, even horrors, to a Yisrael? How about if she's married to an Ovid Kochavim, to a Halal, to a Natin, or a Mamzer? How do we know even that is included in the din of this married Bat Kohen, that there would be a din of Srefa? Talmud Lomar Bat Ish Kohen, he has to be a Kohen, the daddy, the Ish, but she doesn't. Afal Pisha ain't a Kohenet. What are we talking about here, says the Gemara? I don't understand. Because she got married to these people, she's not a Bat Kohen? I don't understand how I would... Why does she lose her status as a Bat Kohen? She's not biologically a Bat Kohen? And what does it have to do with who she married to? I don't understand what you would say. She has to be married to a Kohen in order to be called a Bat Kohen. Does it say anywhere here about who she's married to? Does it say Kohenet le Kohen? It just says a Bat Kohen. What are we dealing with? Now, you don't understand, says the Gemara. The point over here is that we're looking back at that pasuk. Ki teichel liznot, or Marachman. Now, what does that mean? It means that the znut is the source of her chalalut. It means that she is profaning herself through this sexual act, right? But now, how about if she was already profaned? How about in the case, I would say, this is because she is becoming profaned at this moment with this act. But in this case, she had previously had relationships with these other people. And therefore, she is already, to some extent, she is already profaned. Profaned? Profaned by marrying a Levi? Profaned by marrying a Yisrael? Hold on. Don't get so hot under the... Wait a minute. Yes. In a sense, she is profaned. Because let me ask you something. Can she eat truma while she's married to a Levi? Aha! She cannot. Well, what does that show you? She's not really a good Kohenet anymore. Bad, bad girl. She married a Levi. Can she eat truma when she's married to a Yisrael? No. So, let's face the facts that when marrying anybody but a Kohen, she is not fully a Bat Kohen anymore. Well, that's what I'm telling you. Here, let me just remind you of the pasuk. The Omar Mar. After all, we learned in the Braita, Ubat Kohen ki tiyele ish zar. If a Kohen's daughter marries an alien, it says she is no longer allowed to eat from the Kodashim, right? Hibetrumata Kodashim lo tocha. What does that mean? That, first of all those other cases, the case of the, we said if she marries him, if she had sex anyway, with the Novik Kochavim, or with any of these Asurimter, the Halal, or the Mamzer, and so on. At that point, she becomes a Zona, and she's not allowed to marry a Kohen ever, and she's not allowed to eat from Truma. But the same thing is true, at least the part about the Truma, if she marries a Levi or Yisrael. Because what does it say over there? That if she was married to anyone who was an ish zar, and then he dies or divorces her, and she doesn't have any children with him, then it says, Vishava al beit aviyah kinu'ureha, she goes back to living in her father's home. Now, what does that mean, in her father's home? It means now she goes back to being a bat ish kohen. That's the point. She goes back to being a full-scale kohenet. And now she's able to eat once more in the father's food, which is truma. So what does that mean? It means that so long as she's married to a Yisrael or to a Levi, she cannot eat truma. So that means in some sense, there's an equivalence here between being turned into a zonah by someone who is usher to her, in which case she can't eat truma ever again, and she can never marry a Kohen. In some sense, that's even true, although it's temporary, but it's even true about a marriage to a Levi and to a Yisrael. As long as she's married to them, not divorced, not widowed, and doesn't have children from them, only then, as long as she's married to them, and she's not divorced, or not widowed, she's not allowed to eat truma. But if she is divorced or widowed, and she's not married to them, as long as she doesn't have any children from them, then she is allowed to eat truma. I mean, that says to me loud and clear that she is partially mechulelet by being married to such people. That's why I'm asking you in this braita. So suppose she is married to somebody like that. Would she still be called a bat kohen? Or she was once married to somebody like that. Is she called a bat kohen? Kamash malon. Therefore, I need to know, ubat kohen, I don't care if she's 80 years old. She's still a bat kohen in that sense. Now, this, by the way, is not really true according to Rebbe Meir. Because we're saying that she's still considered to be a bat kohen, even though she is married to somebody that actually is being mechalal her on some level, that Rebbe Meir doesn't hold. I should say the Tanan. The Tanan, because the Mishnah in Truma says that a bat kohen that was niseit li Yisrael, and she eats truma. So normally, what's the din of a Yisrael that eats truma? He has to pay back the value of the truma plus an additional chomesh if the eating was b'shogeg. But she does not. She just pays back the fact that she stole that truma because she never had to eat it. But she does not have to pay the chomesh, which is an additional fine for the fact that she is or he is a czar. Now, she's not a czar. Therefore, we separate the paying back, which is just for stealing, and the additional fine of the 1/5 of the extra value, that's for eating truma when you're not allowed to eat the truma. But you hear, Tanakama says, she does not have to pay that extra fine. If she commits adultery, she's still called a bat kohen, which is what we just said, mitata bisrefa. But what if she married one of these people that we listed, like the mamzer, the natin? In those cases, she is totally not a bat kohen any longer, and she does have to pay keren v'chomesh, and she does not get sreifa. She is treated like anybody else in the event that she commits adultery, and she dies b'chenek. Oho, that's Rabbi Meir Shita. Precisely the opposite of what we just said in this braita. So you see how serious we needed to be in entertaining these notions. There actually is a shita like that. And that is Rabbi Meir's shita. Now the Chachamim say, no, she does not become mechulelet in this sense by being married to someone that she's asura to. In both cases, you would pay, whether you're married to a Yisrael or a Levi, or whether you're married to someone that's usur, she would still not pay a chomesh. She would still be called a bat kohen, and mitatab would be besreifa. And that means that our braita would be going according to the chachomim here in the Mishnah, and not like Rebbe Meir here in the Mishnah in Yevamos. Okay. Now, the last line of the braita was really cuckoo. Rebbe Eliezer omer, et avia besreifa, ve et chamia beskila. What is that supposed to mean? I mean, I know you think you know what it means. You think it means If she sleeps with her father, she's chayav sreifa. And if she sleeps with her father-in-law, she's chayav skila. That's what you think it means, right? Well, let me show you why it doesn't mean that. So my et avia vet chamia. Ilema, if you try to tell me that et avia means together with her father, meaning that she was sleeping with her father. The et chamia means she was actually sleeping with her father-in-law. How in the world would that make any sense? The din of sreifa with a father and skila with a father-in-law is true of everybody. So then why would Rebbe Eliezer be talking about a bat kohen? Afilu bat Yisrael nami. The din is one's daughter is a erva that is mechayev sreifa. One's daughter-in-law is an erva that's mechayev skila. It's preferish in the pasuk, so we're going to see all of that later on when we go through the various chiyuvim. So, in any event, I certainly don't need Reb Eliezer to be telling me a din about a bat kohen if it's true about anyone in the world. Okay, so let's see what else might Reb Eliezer have meant by saying et avia and et chamia. So maybe the way to understand it would be et avia. As long as she is living in the same house of her father, so to speak, she's in the reshus of her father, in the domain of her father, meaning that she has not yet left home in order to be with this husband. In other words, she's an arusa, not a nesua. So if she's an arusa, then she's chayav sreifa. But if she's living in the domain of her father-in-law, because in those days, remember, the father of the husband would generally give them a house to live in. Remember, we had those discussions before and what's considered to be a separate house. And okay, fine. We talked about that in terms of sales of homes and the special din where somebody makes a marriage for a son in a home that's meant to be his home. Anyway, so that's what it would mean. Ve'et chamia, when she's in the father-in-law's house, that is to say when she has already gone to the chuppah, so then the din would be that she would be chayevet Sreifa. Now, who the heck said that? There was never a sheet. I never heard of a sheet like that until now. Can you explain to me who Reb Eliezer would be going according to? According to the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan were the ones who say that actually a bat kohen who is a nisuah was actually the case where she's chayevet sreifa. And the Arusa was dafka, a case where she was not chayevet sreifa, because according to them, skila is more chomor, and if she's an Arusa, she would get at least the same skila that a Bas Yisrael would get, right? So then it would be exactly the opposite of what the Rabbanan just said. I mean, that's what Reb Eliezer just said. So how in the world could it be going like the Rabbanan? Okay, so scratch that. Now, she says, okay, so it's not going like the Rabbanan. It's going like Rabbi Shimon. No, it's not. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, he said it doesn't matter. When it says bat ish kohen, it doesn't mention any difference between an arusa and a nisua. So according to Rabbi Shimon, achat arusa, the achat nisua is besreifa. Sorry, so it doesn't work according to him either, because you're making a distinction between an arusa and a nisua. And you're saying that the Nisur was Beskila? That can't be true. Okay, maybe it's going according to the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel that we're going to be looking at in a few minutes. And Rabbi Shmuel holds exactly like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to the Chumrah. What's more Chumrah? Sreifa or Skila? He holds Sreifa is more Chumrah. But based on the pasuk which we're about to see, on Amud Beis, so Rabbi Yishmael says that the din of a bat kohen, the din of sreifa, actually is only a din that is a arusa, but a bat kohen who is nisuah is going to be chayevet the same thing that anyone else would be mechuyevet, namely chenek. And you're saying would be chayev sreifa. So, skila. That doesn't make sense either. Because according to Rabbi Yishmael, he said only the Arusa was Yotze L'Sreifa, and the Nesua would mean that she would be Chayevet Chenek when she was in the Rishus of her father-in-law. Et Chamia, you're claiming, according to him, it would be Chenek. You said it would be Sreifa. So then Reb Eliezer does not go according to any of the Shitas that we have seen that look at the Pasuk and analyze the Pasuk. So how the heck is Reb Eliezer going to make sense? So Ravin sent a message from Reb Yosef, Reb Hanina. This is how I heard it. Kach hi hatza'ah shel Mishnah. Look, the correct girsa is the girsa that we have. So later on we're going to see that Ravina tries to switch the language, in which case it would work out perfectly according to the Rabbanan. But don't do that, said Ravin. Don't do that. I'll explain it to you. Actually, it works out very well, except you have to understand his words in a very idiosyncratic way. So he is saying what the Rabbanan are saying, but he's using the words et avia and et chamia differently than the way you, me, or anyone else in the world is using those words, which, of course, the Gemara is about to say. I mean, come off it. Okay, but anyway, what he was trying to say is like this. He is saying that kol shehu lamata mimitat avia. So, any time that the Torah says that the chiyav of a particular relationship of znus is less than the chiyav that would be et avia, so what would that mean? Well, for instance, a nesua, normal nesua, the din is chenek, right? So that would be, let's say, a Nesua Bat Yisrael was Bechenek. If it's that type of Znus, so then it would be Et Avia. That's the point. So we're using the Avia as two meanings. Take that case of Avia. What would be the Chiyav of Misa if she was sleeping with her father? Sreifa. Well, if it's less than that, then for her, it's Et Avia. For her, it's still Sreifa. It would be the same as if she had slept with her father. But in the case where something is even more chamor than sleeping with a father, what would that be? Well, if she's a Bat Yisrael, who's an Arusa, it says Befer, she's Beskila. So Arusa Bat Yisrael, Ba'alma Beskila. Give her the same chiv that you would give to sleeping with her father-in-law, which is actually Sekila. So, Hacha, Bimitat Chamia, Biskila. Now, of course, it's a little bit of a roundabout way of saying the sheet of the Chachamim, namely that an Arusa is a Bas, Arusa Bas Kohen is Bisreifa, and the Nesua Bat Kohen is Bisreifa, and the Arusa Bat Kohen is the same as the Yoter Chamur Skila, because this is the Rabbanan. But that's basically what it means. Maskefla, Rabbi Yirmiah, yes, it's exactly what it means if you have a wonderful imagination and you're able to throw in some few extra words like more than, less than, similar to, and then it would be. Yes. So with that imagination, I agree that this is a great shot, except for the minor problem that I don't see those words anywhere. Mine, lamala. Lamata, show me where it says any stuff like that. I mean, how can you make an interpretation that is absolute? I mean, there's no person in the world that would have talked like that. So that can't be the pshat. Let me tell you the right pshat. Elam Rabbi Yirmiah, look, I say, what Rabbi Eliezer is saying is basically the same as Rabbi Yishmael, okay? Rabbi Yishmael holds that the Bat Kohen, who is an Arusa, is actually Chayev Sreifa, but a Bat Kohen is an Asua is only Chayev what anybody else would be Chayev, which is Chenek. And this is what he's trying to say. Lachikam. Et Avia meaning while she is together with the Rishus of her father. Yes, it does mean that. So when she's in the Rishus of her father, then she is Chayev Sreifa. But Et Chamia, if she's with her father-in-law, and only if she's actually been sleeping with her father-in-law, mechamia, then it would be biskila. But if it were anyone else, not her father-in-law, it would only be Bechenek. Amar Rava. Okay, and you're supposed to be making more sense than Ravin was making? I mean, make up your mind. If the word et means in the rishus of, then it means in the rishus of in both cases. If the word et means sleeping with together with et, with the case of the father-in-law, that means the same thing in the case of the father. What a crazy shot to say that the first et avia means while she's in the rishus of the father, and the second et chamia means she's not only in the rishus of the father-in-law, but she's in the bed of the father-in-law. I mean, where do you get such a shot from? Make up your mind. Either edi v'edi mamash, either the word et means in both cases literally together with, or edi v'edi mean in the home of, and therefore, it would be saying against Rabbi Yishmael Shita. Because according to Rabbi Yishmael, if you're in the shus of the father-in-law, not in the bed of a father-in-law, then you're chayev chenek, not skila. Ach. All right, let's get serious, says Rava. I'll tell you the pshat. Ela amar Rava, here's the pshat. Le'yelam k'Rabbi Shimon. I say, it's not like the Rabbanan. It's not like Rabbi Yishmael. It goes like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that Sreifa is Chomur, and therefore the Arusa was given, if she's a Bat Kohen, a more Chomur Misa, namely Sreifa. Now, Rabbi Eliezer holds, Kasava Rabbi Eliezer, we treat a Nesu'ah the same way we treat an Arusa, but in a very special way. When we talked about the Arusa, what did we do? We said, since she's a Bat Kohen, we're going to give her a stronger onesh, right? So just like a Bat Kohen, when you're a Bat Kohen, you get a free upgrade. So anybody else would have been Chayev Skila. We're giving her an upgrade. She's going to be Chayevet Sreifa. So just like the Arisa, we give her one upgrade. Chad Darga. Okay, so we take her up from Skila to Sreifa, since according to Rabbi Shimon, Sreifa is Chamur. A Nesua also gets an upgrade, and she goes up from Chenek to Skila. That's the point. So it's not that he's against Rabbi Shimon. He just gives one additional insight, because he holds it. We have to learn out one with the other. So therefore, according to Rava, et means in the rishus of. And it's saying, if she's in the rishus of the father, and she's in Arusa, so then she gets a single upgrade from Skila to Sreifa, leave it to Rabbi Shimon. If she's in the rishus, so I'm consistent, it always means in the rishus of. If she's in the rishus of her father-in-law, she also gets an upgrade from Chenek, one step, according to Rabbi Shimon. What's the next upgrade? From second class, Chenek, the first class, Skila, but you can't get all the way up there to Sreifa. Only the Arusa gets up to Sreifa. Right? Matkifla, Rabbi Chanina. But I don't understand. Aren't we looking for a Shita that exists? If you're ready to say that Rabbi Eliezer is making up his own Shita, I could say that too. The whole point over here was that we're trying to see, does Rabbi Eliezer hold like Rabbi Shimon? Does Rabbi Eliezer hold like the Rabbanan? Does Rabbi Eliezer hold like Rabbi Yishmael? Because we have not seen any analyses of a Pusuk or Limud anywhere that says what Rabbi Eliezer says. Now you're coming along and say, well, he really holds like Rabbi Shimon. He's sort of just sneaking in this one additional point about the upgrade. That's not holding like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said, Beferish. Ha'ini, the ini, Rabbi Shimon says, is Besreifa, the whole point, for heaven's sake. The whole point, according to Rabbi Shimon, is that we looked at that pasuk Bat Kohen Ki Techel Iznod, and we said that that means that the Torah is not making any distinction between an Arusa and an Nesua. So how are you coming along and saying that the very basis of the din of Rabbi Shimon he agrees with but disagrees with? No. Listen here, says Rabbi Chanina, that doesn't make any sense. So come along Ravina and says, look, this is ridiculous. There's only one possible meaning, and that is we must have gotten the girsa wrong. Because there's only one way that this works out. If you flip what it was that Rabbi Eliezer says, and you say, et avia, meaning when she's in her father's rishos, b'skila, and et hamia, meaning once she's already in nesua, then it's b'sreifa, who do you think it's going like? It's going like the Rabbanan. That's perfect. Now, what was not perfect was what an insane way to make a simple point. Instead of saying et avia, I mean, just say arusa or nesua. Whoever heard of this new phraseology, et avia, et hamia, that bothered you. Ah, I have a brilliant explanation of why it was that Rebbe Eliezer used that language. Remember what the pasuk was that the Chachomim were being derish? They were being derish the words avia, et avia, right? Because it said there, it said avia, and it says avia by the Bas Yisrael, it says avia. So he was taking advantage of that pasuk. He's saying, you were discussing et avia imechalelet. Okay, I'm pointing out to you that et avia means that she's still et avia. She is still in the reshus of her father, meaning that she is an arusa. And that would be just a takeoff. It's a sircha. It's a takeoff on that pasuk. Sircha bi'alma nakat. It is not meant to be some kind of fancy new language that you should worry about. Why would he say such an awkward way of saying things? On the contrary, he's saying a beautiful way. You're darshaning et avia mechalelet. And I'm telling you, the et avia means together with her father. That's the point. Excellent.
Ready? Pardon me, it's 8:30, and tomorrow's a huge one. Maybe for the rest of the Yom HaGrav, we'll go a little bit lighter. So that we'll move a little faster. Just encourage it.
I find your encouragement very discouraging, usually.
I know. I feel terrible to say it. I'm just concerned about the ballot.
Listen, if we can get Zoom to put him in the middle of the screen, and then everyone could aim at the same moment, then maybe we could stop this once and for all.
I'm protected by Detroit. No way.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, one person who looks very happy and is always satisfied is Ori. And she's particularly happy because she's Berishus Avia, quite clearly, and therefore it fits the daf 100%. Excellent. So now, Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, Omer Rav. The halacha is like Ravin Mishmeid Rav Yezre Bechanina. You didn't like that first shot of Ravin, which was the first approach that we took. And he explained Rebbe Eliezer with his original meaning, don't change the girsa. But kachi hatza'ah shel Mishnah, exactly as you said it, and it meant this little awkward thing about kosher lamata and kosher lamala, and it's basically going very well, according to the Rabbanan, and that's the way to read it. So that's the way to paskin, like the Rabbanan. Says the Gemara. I mean, so let's just read that. Ve'epuch et avia b'skila v'tchamia b'sreifa. And the meaning of et avia, as the Sirchum Yahweh said, and that halacha would be like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. Omer of Yosef, why are you telling me what the halacha is here in this machlokas about what type of misa we would give? It's irrelevant. This is a hilchot al Mashiach. If Mashiach is here, and we're going to reinstitute these dinim of misa bebezdin, I think we can probably ask a higher authority than you about what the din is. I don't need you to tell me the din for when Mashiach comes. I could talk to Eliyahu Navi. I could talk to Beis Din at the time. What the heck are you doing? Wait a second. I mean, this is a problem. You're going to tell me, okay, let's cut out Masechet Zvachim. Let's cut out Masechet Menachos. Let's anything that's not Nogea we shouldn't be learning. After all, it's Yochas of the Mashiach. Obviously, we have a general rule. Drosh v'kabel sachar. Learn your Torah and get sachar. So fine. That's not what I was saying, said Rabbi Yosef. I'm asking why you need to paskin the halacha. Hilchita lamali. I understand that we needed to learn Sugya de Shmaitzitza, Halacha Ka'amar. I understand. We were not looking at what the halacha is. We were trying to figure out the sugya. What does Rebbe Eliezer mean? So what are you telling me? The halacha is this or the halacha is that? It's irrelevant what the halacha is. That's all I'm pointing out. Now, getting back to this Rebbe Yishmael, we made this big deal of another shita that we never heard of before. Where does Rebbe Yishmael come from? So what's this Rebbe Yishmael? Well, here is the original Braita defining Rebbe Yishmael, the Tanya. Ubat ish kohen ki techel liznot is referring to a nara who is an arusa only. Well, now really, you say so. Ataomer ben aravi arusa? The Torah didn't say so. It just says a bat kohen. What's the difference? Oino afila nisua? Talmud lomar. Ish asher yinafet eshet reyehu, mot yumat hano eif v'hano afet. Here's Rebbe Yishmael's own original approach. It says in the general din of adultery, it just says, anybody who sleeps with his friend's wife, mot yumat, and when you don't specify a misa, a stam misa ksuva b'teira, as Gavi will write down, is always chenek. So therefore, it would mean anybody. Hakol. It says anybody, any man. Hakol ayu bichlala noi vano afet. Okay. So this seems to be telling me a general din that there's a chiyuv chenek on all adultery. Now, we have two places where the Torah introduces, changes, and mentions a different onesh to adultery. One is by Bat Yisrael. Otsia katuv Bat Yisrael. And it talks about Rabbi Chayev Skila. The other is about Kohen, and it talks about her being Chayev Sreifa. Now, the extra din that was set on a Bat Yisrael that took her out of the general set of adultery was referring to a specific case of an Arusa, not an Asua. And we can derive from there that the other special case that takes her out of the normal set of the din of adultery, Bechenek, Afkishotzia Katuv Bat Kohen Misreifa, it is taking her out only in the cases that she is Anusa. But if she is a Nesua, she remains the same as anybody else in the overall context of that single set of Hanoef, Vano Afet, which is Chenek. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we have a unique Shita. We're left with chenek on all cases of a bat kohen other than the case of an arusa. Very straightforward, and that explains this new shita. Now, the last line was that the case of the zomamim. So why does it say he? Zomameha uboala. That would mean that we're talking about asitem lo kasher zamam. So that is a case, wait a second, excuse me, Bo'ala, Kasher Zaman, Bo'ala, what are you talking about? There's no din of Kasher Zaman on a adulterer. Kasher Zaman is only on the Zomamim. Sorry. I meant to say that the Zomamim are included in the Chiv of the male adulterer and not her. Why is that? Zomamim b'chol mitat Bo'ala. Do to him what he was going to do to the male, not what he was going to do to the female. Rabbi Akiva Omer, achat arusa ve'achat nisua yatzat l'sreifa. The bat kohen is straight out across the board. It refers to an arusa, an asua, and you might have thought it even refers to a pnuya who's not married. So as we said before, it says avia in the two cases. Petach bet avia and et avia michalelet. So nemar kan avia v'nemar lahalan avia. Just like we learned out before. Ma lahalan znut im zikat habal. So just like in the case of the Yisrael, the Bas Yisrael, we were talking about not just sex. We're talking about where there is a husband. Here too, we're talking about znut im zikat habal, which would not include a pnuya. Says Rabbi Yishmael to Rabbi Akiva, excuse me, sir, but once you learn a Gezerah Shava, then you've got to go the whole way. If you're using this Gezerah Shava, and you're saying it has to be the same case, and therefore there's got to be a husband, well, it's got to be the same husband. So just like the case that you were talking about with the Aviyah, in the case of the Yisrael, it was talking about a Naira Hamu'uratza, then you should learn out that the same thing is true of the Bat Kohen. Only a Naira Hamu'uratza. But you're saying that the Torah doesn't make any difference between the Naira Hamu'uratza or the Naira who is Nesua in the case of a Bat Kohen. So then you're very inconsistent. Either you're learning out one from the other, or you're not. If you're learning out that there needs to be a husband, it has to be the same husband. Amala Rabbi Akiva. My dear brother Yishmael, I am darshaning the word bat, since it says ubat. Why say ubat kohen? It should have just said bat kohen. So I'm saying that extra vav comes along to teach us an additional case, and therefore it includes a nesua, to which Rabbi Yishmael said, well, because you've got your little hang-up, Rabbi Akiva, about looking at every vav and making a drasha out of it, therefore we should kill somebody with sreifa. So no tzizula sreifa, because of that we're going to change the din and we're going to be mechayev a nesua to sreifa. You've got to make up your mind. If you're using that vav to include a nesua, so then use it to include even a woman who doesn't have a husband at all. And if it's saying to me that it excludes the penuya from the gzeirah shava, so then you have to exclude the nesua. You can't have it both ways. Yeah, so what does Rabbi Akiva say to that? Rabbi Akiva is saying, you don't understand, man. I have two different drushas. One is the gzeirah shava, which compares the two, and one is the extra vav of the ubat, which includes something above and beyond what that comparison would have included. So it's two separate things. The gzeirah shava works to tell me that both are cases of adultery and not just cases of some type of sexual activity. So ahani gzeirah shava lema'ute pnuya. The gzeirah shava tells us the cases are the same. We're talking about a married woman. What type of married woman? Ah, for that, the vav helps. The ubat comes along to be marba the nesua. What's your problem? Obviously, the Torah is being megala in one direction a limitation, and in the other direction an expansion. So the limitation, it makes sense that we're dealing with the case of adultery, okay? Doesn't that make sense to you? The other indication is, but what type of adultery? Ubat would mean any type of adultery, whether she's married as an arusa or whether she's married as an asua. Makes perfectly good sense to me. Yeah, actually, what's Rabbi Yishmael's problem? No, Rabbi Yishmael thought, think about what you thought for a minute. When Rabbi Akiva turned to him and said, Yishmael achi, bat ubat ani doresh. That usually means, get your mind off of the gzeirah shava. I'm not being doresh the gzeirah shava. I'm only being doresh bat ubat. That's what Rabbi Yishmael thought, that Rabbi Akiva wasn't using the gzeirah shava. So shava midika armalei bat ubat is what I'm looking at. He means that he's turned aside and changed his mind about this gzeirah shava. Hadar b'mi gzeirah shava. So that's why he said, okay, then you have to make it up. What are you doing with it? Now, as far, what about does Rabbi Yishmael himself do with this extra ubat? What does he dashum with the ubat? Ah, that mi boile le kiritani avoy de Shmuel bar Avin. This is a brilliant drasha. Look, can a Kohen who's a Baal Mum, can he bring korbanos? No. So does he have the same kedusha as a Kohen who's not a Baal Mum? No, because he's not kosher for hakravas korban. Now, suppose a Kohen like that, who's a Baal Mum, has a daughter. So now when we're saying, et avia hi mechalelet, Bechalelet from what? I mean, he wasn't such a fancy-dancy, wonderful Kohen, was he? So since the Torah made a difference of a Kohen who is a Balmum and a Kohen who's not a Balmum, Yochol Nachalok Bivnoteyem, and you might think that only the daughter of a Kohen who's a full Kohen who can do the Aved and doesn't have a Balmum, only that type of Kohen's daughter would be Chayiv Sreifa. That's why we needed the Ubat to include even the daughter of a Kohen who's a Balmum. Yeah, nice point. So according to Rabbi Akiva, how do I use the Ubat to tell me even a Nesua? He says, a Kohen who eats the actual korbanas, even if he can't bring them, is called Kadosh, my dear friend. Kedoshim yiyu le'elohehem, v'lo yechalalu shem elohehem, ki etishei Adonai lechem elohehem heimakrivim, v'hayu kodesh. That extra word, v'hayu kodesh, is there to tell me that even if they're balei mumen, they still eat from the korbanos. And how do we tell you that, halacha? Don't think that they're not kodesh just because they can't be makriv. So that means the pasuk is specifically saying, don't listen to this possible drusha. Maybe he's not called a full kohen. He's a kodesh kohen, and his avia michalelet would apply. And why doesn't Rabbi Yishmael think that that's enough? Because he says, look, it's true they are kodesh, but it doesn't say that their daughters would still be kodesh, because that's one level down. So I might have still thought, so not only they are kodesh, but not their daughters. Kamash malan with the extra vav, that actually even the daughters are kodesh. Okay, so sorry about the extra time, and sorry for frustrating dear Reb Barnea, but I felt that this was a daf that gives us a perfect view from a room with a view of an entire braita that we now understand so beautifully. It's really amazing to see the way that all of these psukim, each one of which seems to be defining specific sets in special ways, how it is that we're able to talk about them on all the different levels that we've looked at this, in terms of klal uprat and ribuy and miut, and how it is that we're going to be derish a mamitzino, or be derish a gzera shava, or actually be derish avav, and the way that all of those relationships are all focused and bring us into different ways of seeing it. I think it's beautiful. To me, it's quite poetic. How would you stop in the middle of poetry, Reb Barnea, where everyone knows that poetic interruptus is actually a tremendous chisaron? So we had a beautiful full day of poetry, which should leave you on a high, not with your head hanging low. So give me a big Barnea smile. What happened was that we lost out on our big voice a little bit. That's true. But I think it was a price worth paying. Okay, everybody. I thank you for your patience. And now that we finished today's sixth tafim in Maseches Sanhedrin, we will be able, Bezrat Hashem, to go on tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then with Besorot Tovot, Yishuot, V'Nechamot. Kol Tov, everybody.